With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Into dark. Got invisible.
I don't remember.
Hello and welcome to Recovery Internet Radio, broadcast live and direct from Straight Stuff Studios. You're on a beautiful fall night. Hope you're enjoying your fall season, picking apples and such, as we did today.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome to episode number 80. We're pushing almost a year and a half of broadcasting.
Yeah, so about that.
Thanks, audience members, for listening and making this a successful little show that we do here. We have fun doing it. We hope you enjoy it. So thanks for being with us here tonight. And I would like to say, if you're a new listener or if you've only listened to a couple episodes, check out our archives and see if there's anything in there that tickles you, because we've got some great shows. You got almost a year and a half of a catalog there for a show a week. So anything that tickles your fancy, we got it. So.
Anything addictive that you can think of, we probably got.
Individually or as a group.
Or as a group, we got it all.
So mm-hmm. We're gonna have a great show here for you tonight too. So we got a couple of quick announcements and a couple of quick shout outs. So I'd like to say a quick word about Sidekicks Mentoring. It's a volunteer peer mentoring program that we are involved with pretty directly, and it's a no cost program. We kind of try to hook up kids that need healthy role models with people that are interested in providing said service, and give them a little bit of a different outlook on life, a little positive influence. So,
let me just say while you're talking about that I was reading today that Big Brothers and Big Sisters who work with kids that were probably not the same kind of kids that we work with. We work more with the kids that have a little bit of difficulty or school or court referred kids. Not always, but largely. Big Brothers, Big Sisters cannot get enough mentors. They can't get enough adults. So that's really a shame. And we're also looking for mentors, and we hope that, so if you're interested in mentoring a kid, helping a kid.
Look us up. We're on the web. Check out the website at
please do.
www.sidekicksmentoring.org.
Yes.
O-R-G. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, we'd love to have you. If you know someone or you are someone that would like to be a mentor or know someone that would be a good candidate for mentoring, either or. So all the information is on the website, sidekicksmentoring.org. Cool. Great program. Let's see what else. Oh, Double Take Band. Great cover music from probably the last 20 or 30 years through today.
I think they say the 50s through today.
Oh, there you go.
The 50s?
Wow. Got it all. You can check them out at their website, which is DoubleTakeChicago.com. I think that they've got a gig coming up. Oh, let's see here. August, September, October 4th. At Porter's at Bull Creek. That's in Elgin. That's October 4th from 8 to 11. But you can check out all their show times and their upcoming gigs at DoubleTakeChicago.com. And you can also listen to some of their lovely music, like Brick House, which we'll start playing immediately on going to the website. All right, so I think that's about all I have to say. If I haven't introduced them already, the man you all know and love, Mr. Rick Atwater, ladies and gentlemen.
Yay! Bada boom, bada boom. So, welcome to the show tonight. Our Straight Stuff on Addictions. Our tag tonight is Suit Coat Johnny Talks About the Nature of Change. Gotta love that tag. And so anyway, thanks for joining us tonight. We are every Sunday night at 8 o'clock, and thanks to Chris, our engineer,
hey.
Who keeps us up and running
hey.
Here.
Yeah.
Keeps our technical stuff in order, sort of.
Vast majority of
although
time.
I had to, you know what? I had to turn the computer on. It was off when I came in here.
Well, you know.
Yeah, whatever. Anyway, a couple of quick things. You can call into the show for questions or comments or opinions, God forbid, by calling 323-792-2977. So our call-in number again is 323-792-2977.
Certainly.
You can tweet us live. We'll get your tweets while we're on the air, and that Twitter address, thank you, is at Rick Atwater. Also, you can check us out at recoveryinternetradio.com. That's
recoveryinternetradio.com. Also on Facebook at Recovery Internet Radio, believe it or not.
So we're really social media'd.
We're connected.
We're connected. We're electronic. We're there. If you want to go to recoveryinternetradio.com, that's where you can get to all our archive shows. You can also listen to the show on Sunday Night Live at that address as well. Although we do send out a link. When we send out a link for those who do get that promo, we would hope that you would pass that along to anybody you think would benefit by hearing the show. So please pass it along to your friends. Recovering friends, people in need of recovery, treatment centers, or anybody else you think would be appropriate for this type of show.
You know, get forward all. There you go. Boom, done. Easy. Don't
yeah.
even have to pick and choose.
Spread us around because that's the only way we do make any headway in terms of our listening audience because we're an internet radio show is through our listeners passing us along. So please do that. And our guest tonight is none other than Suit Coat Johnny.
Hey, hey.
Or John D, as the case may be. But I like Suit Coat. Did you tell me that you've been wearing that thing for a year and still haven't got it dry cleaned?
You know what my wife said to me tonight?
I got
to
buy you a new suit coat.
For tonight?
No, just tonight.
she was going to buy you a new coat?
I was thinking, you know, when you asked me, if you could mention that.
Yeah.
And I started thinking last week.
How
long have I been wearing a suit coat and how did I get that name? You know, and I really had to think hard about it. And I've been wearing a suit coat for 30 years or more.
I haven't known you 30, but you've worn a suit coat ever since I've known you, and it's been a while.
I tried to figure out why.
Why you wore it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I used to carry a deck of cards all the time. Because I like to do sleight of hand, you know, and I haven't done them in quite a while, but I could always have a deck or two of cards in any pocket, so I'd
suit coats are great
for someone, and
they're great for that.
Enjoy their response, and so that's where it started. And
you haven't done magic in a while.
It's been a little while.
I haven't.
Your arthritis is acting up.
I didn't know you did magic. You're a man of many talents. I didn't
quite know. The suit coat is clutch with that. Yeah, you don't find a whole lot of magicians wearing tank tops.
No, no, you don't. So that was that.
So that's how that came around.
Chris will buy me a new coat soon.
Well, that's good. So let's start by at least talking a little bit about where you came from. I mean, obviously we're talking about tonight, we want to talk about change, and it fits, change in a bigger sense. You personally have experienced your own set of changes, which is what qualifies you to talk about it. So let's talk a little bit about that. Where did you come from, and how did you get to the point where you needed to change?
I'll mention that. I think I want to mention that at this point in time, I'm still really learning how to make an objective self-appraisal about myself. So when we look at some of these things, I know there are certain things that I've changed and I've been forced to change in my life, for good or for worse. But I think that getting feedback from other people helps when we probably what praise these.
You don't always know the extent of the changes you've made or
probably,
the kinds of changes
probably.
You've made unless you get some feedback, right?
Right. I mean, yeah. I personally work on change in a certain area of myself.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe we'll get to that a little bit later. But I started as I came from a regimented Catholic background, heavily regimented, and
that means church, regular church going, and
that means boarding school regimentation.
That means boarding school.
That means Catholic boarding school regimentation.
Okay,
it wasn't church, just church. It was all of it, you know. Mm-hmm. It was, that's the way it was going to be, and heavily blue-collar oriented, you're going to learn a trade and work.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was really, or become a priest.
Yeah. You must be Irish.
Yeah, absolutely, I'm Irish.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's pretty much my background for all of my adolescence and through high school. You know.
Did you ever think about being a priest?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
I mean,
like the Latin, you know.
They were still doing Latin then?
Absolutely, yeah. The Latin. Yeah.
When did they stop doing Latin, by the way? It must have been in the, like, 60s, maybe? Latin Mass?
Yeah, it was 65, 66, 68, maybe, around there. They turned. They started facing you, too.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Latin Mass. They faced you instead of having the priest face you instead of having the back end. But that's the whole background I had. But,
yeah.
You know, thinking about it, I don't recall having to deal with change in any way, shape, or form during that period of my life.
Well, when it's that regimented, it's kind of, it sounds like things were designed for, you're going to get...
They were designed. I think I dealt more with rebellion.
Right.
You know, I think that thinking I'm going to be something else. Or,
right.
You know, out in the world. You know?
Which I guess is wanting to change. Maybe not going...
to change.
Well, is it, you know, I don't know. What is rebellion? I guess it's wanting to change, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it is.
Maybe not
even
doing
whether
it.
Whether or not you identify with it as change, but you want to.
Yeah, you don't
want to stay in that spot.
Yeah,
you know,
it's more like that's what I don't want to be.
I'm willing to cross some threshold and see what else is going on.
Yeah.
If I need to retreat back, well, I'll retreat back. But I think the first point in time where I really thought that I'd have to watch what I was doing when I was growing up was when I said to myself, I do not want to be like my father.
Mm.
So I think that's a critical point in my thinking where, you know, I'd have to watch things because I didn't want to be like the man that I really disliked so much.
Mm.
And I was in a boarding school, but I had visitation rights and everything. So
yeah.
That's, I think, the earliest point in time where I considered...
It's like that's what I that's what I don't want to. I got to be careful because that's what I don't want to be. Yeah.
Right. So maybe that's the first touch of a little bit of what would be changed along the way. You know.
Yeah. Or like the first part of it is you need to be self-aware about behavior, and that maybe is the first part of change or the first
and we want, you know, what is change, you know, what is it? It's a, you know, it's a verb and it's a noun, so
right, yeah,
you know, so.
Right, yeah, it's an action and a thing,
right?
Okay,
but let me say that my thoughts on change overall are is that it's a constant. It's always happening.
Hmm. Whether you want it to or not?
Absolutely. So it becomes almost a noun at that point.
Hmm.
It becomes a thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, analogous to, I don't know, maybe a river or a stream of consciousness or something.
Something that keeps moving.
It's always in motion.
Yeah, and it's whether you're in it or whether you're not.
That's correct. Or yeah. Whether you're fighting it or not. You know,
so did
and
you...
it's so at that point it affects you in one way or another, either through some outside forces or some internal thoughts on how to use it as a resource.
Hmm. So did you become like your dad?
For a while. Yeah, absolutely. So I think...
Okay, all right, let's go back to that. Let's go back to that.
Maybe that was the milestone
okay.
right there. Yeah, I
okay.
absolutely did. Absolutely.
What was it about him that you didn't like?
My father... couldn't be honest, he couldn't tell the truth.
Mm.
My father couldn't be human.
Mm. Like true feelings or?
Just something that I didn't really trust and really couldn't get a tune with. He just seemed to not give a shit.
Mm.
And he stunk like alcohol, and he made promises and talked to me with this smell, and unshaven, and I just didn't like the man as the character. You know, I just
right.
didn't like it. And,
was he an alcoholic?
Heavily.
Yeah.
He was an alcoholic.
Did you know that he was?
Later on, as I became educated a little bit about
but at that time,
and,
no.
At that time, as young, no. Well, actually, probably early adolescence, I figured it out.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I eventually drank with him.
Yeah.
I sat and had many, many, many nights with him at a bar. Something I had to go through.
Yeah.
And he finally told me once, he says, you know what, I can consume a lot of alcohol, but you have put more than a way that I can ever drink.
Hmm.
Try to be careful.
That was some pretty good advice for a guy.
So I think that was about the time I exited. And we didn't spend much time together in life, but I think after that statement, I thought that maybe I reached a point with him that I needed to reach. And, I need to go off and do something else. But we got dropped out of communication for quite a while. Actually, later on in life, I grew to love the man.
Hmm.
As though he were a child.
Yeah.
I grew to love him, and I grew to understand that.
Yeah.
That I really grew to understand that he was a human being who had only so many capabilities. Really, whether he did the best he could or not didn't matter. He was just a human being. He was a man, and I got to know him as a man with all of his frailties, all of his desires, all of his faults. And I accepted it and I blessed it. And,
how old were you by the time you got to that point? 50?
No.
I mean, I'm just saying.
No, I think it was probably 35, 20 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe when I was.
And had you gotten sober by that time?
Absolutely, I had to.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because you would, my guess is you wouldn't have reached that point with him had you not gotten your own stuff together.
Correct, but I battled with finding peace with him for years.
Even before that?
I think that even before that, there was something deep down inside that was driving that.
Yeah.
But I don't know. And maybe that's that area of change, that stream of change that is pushing us from deep within us.
Mm-hmm.
That now that we really can't get in touch with what we feel, or we're driven in some way. So we see changes. I look at change as a different thing at that point. So before something was happening, So I was driven for a long time to come to peace with that, somehow do something about that.
Well, I mean, I guess my question is, do you think that you cleaning up your own side of the street, so to speak, you getting sober, you getting, you know, was that, like, did that make the difference finally in your coming to terms with your dad?
Absolutely.
So, like, why, even though you had been trying for a long time and you'd been, you know, in the river, why was that different? Why getting sober yourself, why did that make the difference? I mean, maybe that sounds like a stupid question.
No, it's not a stupid question. It made a difference because being either genetically like him or whatever, becoming very similar to him, I was short on love, understanding, forgiveness, tolerance, and compassion. I had none of those.
Right.
Neither did he.
Right.
So when I got sober, I had to acquire a lot of those virtues or principles and practice them.
So you needed those things in order to understand him.
I needed them in order to understand him and forgive him.
Yeah.
And see him clearly.
All right. So the next question then is, how did you get those things?
Yeah, right.
Because
yeah, right.
Those are...
Yeah, we gotta, that's where we're going.
That's where we're going.
Yeah,
that's where we're going. So how did you get those things? I mean, I know that's not an easy,
It's tough to answer because that type of change, which is more than a psychic change.
Right.
I mean, it's a shift.
Right. This is a, you know, did you become
Those principles of change come from different angles, and they come from multiple resources.
Well, let me ask you a different way. Did you become something that you never were, or did you become something that you always were?
We talked a little bit about this, and that's one of my favorite, I don't want to say subject, but one of my favorite things that I think about is that I think I was becoming something that I originally was. Mm. However undeveloped.
Like it was there, all of the necessary raw material.
Correct. As a human being.
Yeah, yeah. And this is maybe a theological question, but do you think you had that material coming in? I mean, does everybody have that?
At what point in time?
I don't know, like when you were born, I guess. I mean, are you born with those things, that goodness, the innocence, the whatever that we're talking about here, the forgiveness, the capacity to forgive, the
I'm going to go out on a limb and say yes.
From your experience, I mean, you know.
Was I?
Yeah. You think so?
Yes. Undeveloped.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Do you know what Do you know in Catholicism they talk about original sin? You are damned to hell because you got original sin. What?
That was my next question. So how do you reconcile? How does a Catholic reconcile that?
I really believe I had to reconcile that statement. So I had to get baptized and all that. But I had to reconcile that statement for some reason after I got sober. Why? Was it so ingrained in me? Do you know what I came up with? Honestly, and maybe this will make sense, maybe it won't. Original sin, for some reason to me, was my low self-esteem.
Hmm.
I couldn't figure any other reason for fearful behavior.
Yeah, I get that.
Does it kind of make sense?
Yeah, I get that.
I didn't do nothing wrong. I did.
So the sin is fear based on your separate, you know, low self esteem. Separation maybe is another word to use for low self esteem. Yeah. Separation from your higher power, or separation from God, or whatever. That's what low self esteem is.
I think it's a little broader. It's separation from existence.
Just being, yeah. Being completely separated from everything.
Yeah. That original person talking about.
Right.
Now we start to put up barriers and walls and defenses.
Right.
So now we separate and we move further into that and away from who.
That
I believe I was originally gifted with. That's what I think. So, yeah, we had those things, undeveloped or not, didn't understand them, but I think that's the way human beings need to go.
So tell your...
those or develop those things.
Tell your a little bit about your story of the actual process of you getting sober, a little bit about how that you progressed into, you know, your alcoholism and then what happened. How did you get sober?
How did I get sober?
Yeah.
I got sober once for about 4 years, 4.5, almost 5 years. I was just, I think my first wife was kicking me out the door or something. You know, mm-hmm. I better go.
Better do something.
I better do something.
Yeah.
So I ended up going to Alcoholics Anonymous.
Yeah.
I thought, this is nice, you know. I belong here.
Yeah.
Anyway, I drank after... about 4.5 or so years of sobriety, and drank for another 5. And it was miserable. I was back to the old fearful. I mean, I wouldn't say back to, but I was just as lost and as fearful and as secluded and as I was since ever that turning point was when I started going that direction. Drank very, very, very heavily. For some reason, I think I was trying to forget that A was in my life, or I had gone there. I think I was trying to forget that I had gone there. You know? So I drank very, very heavily.
That didn't work, I guess.
No, it didn't work. And so it got to the point where I was really, really bad, really hopeless, and I thought, oh, you know what I'm going to do? I just can't burden this anymore. I can't shoulder this. I think I'll call one of those treatment centers that I heard about years back. I'm gonna go in there, and I'm gonna see what they're doing. And so I called this place over here in town. And said, "Yeah, come on in for an interview." So I shaved and I got an I'm going for an interview. What do you mean?
Like they're gonna give you a job or something?
What's going on? Interview. And, you know, I'm as narrow-minded as I've ever been my whole life. And so I go and I get this interview. Say, yeah, come on in. You're Ruby. You're good. You're an alcoholic. You got a bed. They put me in this room, bring me some food. It was clean. This is interesting. She gave me some pills. I took them. Well, I was asleep. I was just dozed off. I took these things. I just dozed off to sleep. And I thought, I made the right decision. You know what? Maybe they're going to give me a lobotomy, but... whatever they gave me tonight is working real well. Second night, she comes in. She gives me some more. I had food that day. The room was clean. She gives me some more pills. I doze off. I said, this is really good. Good decision. Third night, same thing. The fourth night, I was standing at the door of that room like Pavlov's dog with my hand out.
Waiting for the pills.
Yeah, they were cool, red, whatever. I don't know.
Right.
She walked by me, looked at the bed, whatever they do in the room. Maybe they're looking for alcohol. I don't know what she's doing back there, but I'm still standing by the door, and she walks out, and I said, Miss, nurse, what about my pills? She says, you don't need them anymore here. And she gave me a book called Alcoholics Anonymous. I thought, oh, my God, my heart dropped. He said, you don't need those anymore. You need this. It was like Ali hit me with a right.
Right.
I was deflated. It was an impact. She set me up. You know, she set me up. So what could I do? I'm in a room behind locked doors. I read the book.
Hmm.
And I started reading the book, and I hadn't read it when I was sober before.
Hmm.
And it was one paragraph. It said, there is a solution. And that's what changed. That's what changed my life.
Hmm.
That point in time. I wept and I wept and I wept, and something came out of me. And at that point in time, the next morning, I had this moment of clarity, but I had a decision to make.
Hmm.
And it was, look, you can go back and you know exactly what's going to happen. Or you can go through this window of opportunity not knowing anything, keeping an open mind, staying as vulnerable as you are now, and see what happens.
Hmm.
And that's what I did.
Mm-hmm.
And I never looked back.
Now, I think there would be a lot of people that would be very interested in that moment, like that moment when, you know, between the time that she handed you that book and your heart dropped, and the time that you read that section in the book that said there is a solution and made those series of decisions,
mm-hmm.
that space,
mm-hmm.
that it would be very interesting to talk about a little bit of a description of that, the more specifics about that space. What I'd like to do is do exactly that, but maybe we can take 5 minutes now, because I know we've got a song we want to play, do a little halftime, and we'll come back and we'll talk about that. What are we going to hear, Chris?
We've got Changes by Alan Price.
Alan Price.
Alan Price. And what did you hear about? What did Hugh Laurie say about this song?
He already said, this is a big one. Don't miss it.
Okay, so we're going to play.
So here you go, ladies and gentlemen. This is a big one.
Don't miss it.
We'll be right back. This is for you, Hugh.
Everyone is going through changes. And no one knows what's going on. And everybody changes places. But the world still carries on. Love must always change to sorrow, and everyone must play the game. It's here today and gone tomorrow, but the world goes on the same. One. world still carries on.
All right, we're back.
We are back.
Discussing the song. It was a hymn. We decided it was a hymn. I've heard it before. I can remember something about go to the Lord with prayer. That was
right.
One of the lines. Do you remember that? No, you didn't remember.
It comes from a hymn, and I'm trying to remember it.
Can't remember. Any of our listeners know the name of that hymn?
Yeah,
tweet us and tell us what it is, because we need your help.
And speaking of, if you want to tweet us, we can get a hold of us at Rick Atwater on Twitter, via Facebook, through Recovery Internet Radio.
Or our call-in number.
Yeah, or our call-in number, which is 337-922-9977. Yeah.
So thank you. Yeah, or Google us.
Yeah. You could use your Siri, ask Siri in the boy voice now if you want. Whatever you want to do. All right, go crazy. Get a hold of us.
We are so technical. It just makes me want to.
What's the tag of our show tonight, Rick? You do it so well.
The tag is Suit Coat Johnny talks about the nature of change.
Excellent. Well, if you're just joining us, thanks for being here tonight. And if you've been listening since the beginning, then welcome back. And if you're listening to this via archive or a podcast, then cool. Here we are. Take it away, boys.
So we're back, and I think where we left it was that we were talking about you used the term moment of clarity. Mm-hmm. And so, how do you think? What were the pieces? What were the components, if I could use that word, that to that moment of clarity? What went into that moment of clarity? I mean, it just doesn't happen out of the blue. And I know it's all your life experience. But could you like tell us any more about some of the components to that moment?
Yeah, I thought about it, and I came up with one conclusion.
Mm.
Divine intervention.
Mm. Yeah.
Period.
Right. In the interest of keeping it simple, divine intervention.
Simplicity can be complicated, but absolutely.
Right.
Divine intervention.
Right. Did you ever ask, maybe this goes a little off the track, but did you ever ask why? Like, I wonder why you your ass was saved.
I suppose I asked that for some period of time.
Mm-hmm.
But another conclusion I came up with about that, I'd probably never get an answer to that. So, in reference to that, what am I going to do?
Right. So what am I going to do now?
Right.
So divine intervention. Okay, so you also used a term, we were talking the other day, you used a term intrinsic.
Yeah.
Which, and then we started talking about that. Is that the same as fundamental nature? Is that soul? Is that God's gift? You know, what is intrinsic?
Intrinsic is all of those things you just mentioned, but, you know, my friend Jennifer mentioned that to me once, and it's a word I've used before and I'm familiar with, but she mentioned it once, and I said, you know, she kind of understands. And I think intrinsic brings us back to what we originally talked about is, who was I, God-given, and what is intrinsic in my nature? As given to me by God,
and that,
or whatever you want to use. You know, I'm using a three-letter word here, but it's,
and that's what we're, you know, you're talking about that river or the consciousness. That's,
whatever stream of consciousness.
That's what we're talking about. That's that's what's going on our way back to who we always were. Kind
that's
of
right.
Thing.
That I believe that.
Mm-hmm.
That I need to find. Or get back in touch with who I am and what is intrinsic to my nature. I already know why, because I answered that question by taking some action and making some changes in my life. some behavioral changes, but most of the changes that I look at and I'm perceptive of in who I am are more in my head and my heart and what communication takes place between myself and other human beings.
So, like,
Where am I going with that?
I think a lot of people would think that change, they just would, you know, cut it off at behavior. Like,
correct.
You know, okay, so let's say we were just joking around about anger before the show started. Yeah. You know, are you mad? Do you have rage? That kind of stuff. No, you don't. But like, let's say you know you'd been an angry guy, you acted angrily mm-hmm. in certain situations, and then you,
which I have,
okay, and then you did something or something happened, and you no longer acted in an angry way.
Correct.
Behavioral change is, you know, I mean, that's possible just to operate like bite your tongue and not say the things
that's
you used to say.
That's behavioral, biting your tongue and not saying what you say.
Okay. Now, but it goes beyond that.
It goes way beyond that.
All right, so let's talk about what's beyond that.
Yeah, well, I think beyond that is easier than making behavioral changes, because I've struggled with behavioral changes for
right.
years.
Right,
you know,
right.
I mean, even the pain I put myself through, you know, some lifestyle changes, you know, that's difficult stuff.
Yeah,
you know, and they say you got to act your way into this, but beyond that, I think that when we talk about, when I mention that stream of consciousness, whatever it is, the collective unconscious, the consciousness of God, or that stream is available to use as a resource. And what I had to change is I had to change my perception on how I see, hear, smell, and touch the world around me and human beings.
Mm. And how you interact.
Right.
Yeah.
Some of that's behavioral, but a lot of it is emotional, psychological, and spiritual.
You're talking about a very fundamental shift in how you look at things.
You have to.
So you could talk about... Yeah, I think, yeah. And you can talk about, like, let's not get angry, or you can talk about shifting of perception to the point where anger is not something that you go to as a...
Well, you know, when it comes to anger, and I figured out that when I was getting angry, I was mostly disappointed about what given circumstance triggered that.
Right.
So I shifted it from reactive anger to a constructive understanding that, wait, I'm disappointed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or I'm,
and then you can take it all the way back
upset
to
me.
I had expectations about the way it was supposed to be.
That's right.
And that's where it started in the first
place.
That's
right. So when we start...
So if you don't have those expectations, you don't end up disappointed.
Correct. Or high expectations equal low serenity. That we got from that a long time ago.
Right.
So, right. Yeah, so it's at what point, like that point of there is a solution, there was a real short moment that had to do something. I had to see things differently.
Right.
And that happens with the anger or any other reactive behavior that we have.
Right.
So, and what have I learned to monitor those things with is that, you know, I was a narrow-minded, very self-centered, feeling that I was extremely self-important human being, and all of that changed when I started to learn about tolerance, compassion, forgiveness, and all of the aspects of love, which we could talk about forever. So when I started to become more of those, then there was a shift
mm-hmm.
in my perception about who you are, who Chris may be, Angela, anyone around me.
Right. So you could so you could see those things. It's almost like I guess the I've heard the term coming out of the fog. You know, it's almost like that. That they were there. That was there, and all of a sudden that becomes visible to you because you've identified those characteristics in yourself. Correct. You've found your own. You found compassion. So how do you go about? Did Alcoholics Anonymous help you find those things?
Absolutely, and it helped develop them. More importantly,
can you talk about the process of how did that happen? I mean,
how did that happen?
Like let's just take compassion or forgiveness or something like that.
I'll tell you what. You got to have a few stones to be a little bit vulnerable to see vulnerability in another human being.
Okay, so you start with vulnerability, like you're describing in there.
You have to start with sensitivity, and when you start with sensitivity, you're going to realize that, you know something? Everybody around you is just as sensitive and vulnerable, and maybe is confused and misguided.
Hmm.
You must start with yourself and feel that.
And
you know that, then
That takes the judgment out of a lot of things then when you start with that, right?
You have no judgment capabilities whatsoever.
Right.
But what you're left with is this clear picture of who we are.
And you started in the room, in detox, with the moment of clarity, saying, I made a decision to stay as vulnerable as I feel now.
Right. And at one point in time, I made a decision to pack as much love, forgiveness, understanding, and compassion into my psyche while I was exposed.
Mm-hmm.
But I had to develop those things. And that comes with practice.
That comes with practice.
Which becomes a behavioral, sometimes an overt behavioral thing.
Yeah, that's where you gotta.
So now
you gotta
so now,
practice what you.
Well,
yeah.
Yeah. So now is that the point at which the phrase makes sense? Act your way into it. Have you had to have that shift first, and then you act your way into it as you develop it? And
right.
I think possibly maybe that's where it has the most impact on us is when we tell someone, "Well, keep coming around and act your way into it."
Right.
I think. I don't know.
Or maybe those the psychic change and the behavior really run concurrently, and people that come in to Alcoholics Anonymous just need to stay there long enough for the psychic change to occur.
And it will occur.
And you hear that too, right? Keep coming back until the miracle happens.
Right.
I've heard that
happen.
Phrase.
The change will happen.
Yeah.
And we talk about change, and I think I mentioned it once as well. You know, change is possibly a collaboration.
Yeah, you used that word. So tell me about that. What is that? What does that mean?
I have no idea.
Come on, you're supposed to explain this.
I think it's a collaboration between the unholy trinity, me, myself, and a great I am, and get them the hell out the door.
So who are we collaborating with then?
You know who we're collaborating with? We're collaborating with our God, with other human beings, and the interaction of our existence.
See, I think that's a great concept.
It makes sense to me.
It's like, yeah, maybe collaborating with change. You know, it's like, oh, well, it's
you
like...
You have to collaborate with change. You got to get in the stream and go where the flow goes.
Yeah, I guess. If you're swimming the other way, it isn't going to work.
I think it's
so. Let's cooperate and go downstream.
Sure.
And all you got to do is stop swimming upstream.
That's right.
That would be cooperation.
Of course. And it doesn't mean you're going to hit any dams, Donna. You're going to hit some dams and some overhanging trees and stuff and some rough waters.
They're going to be there.
Sure. You know, but I like that. You know. I was always uncertain about existence and about life and about everything. And what this program is given to me is Let me tell you something. I'm in absolute awe of the majesty of existence because it's change.
Where'd you get that? Where did that come from? Have you always had that? You always been in awe of the majesty of existence?
I think so. Yeah. Why not?
I can't think of a reason. Although I know that a lot of people don't have that attitude, John.
But if you look around, my God, it's breathtaking.
Yes, it is.
We can sure screw it up.
It can be done, yeah.
We can throw a wrench into the works here, you know. But, yeah, I mean, I think it's breathtaking.
Yeah.
I think we're breathtaking.
Yeah.
I think human beings are breathtaking.
Yeah.
I think my existence is breathtaking. Maybe it's the poet. I don't know. I don't know, but I've always gone there. And that's where I want to stay. That's what I want to experience.
And you are a poet, right?
I don't know. I'd like to think I am.
Well, I think you see things from the perspective of a poet, which makes you a poet.
I think the poets live in awe of existence. I think the poets are like on some... a lot of good ones, you know, they just they took that stream of consciousness or whatever, they're tagged into something.
Yeah, they're connected. They're swimming.
All these little experiences that, you know, in human descriptions of human experiences that they've been able to, you know, put out.
So are you still changing?
Absolutely.
It doesn't stop?
Never stops. I think I take a break every so often and got to jump back in. You know, it takes some effort, too. I'm just not saying we jump in some kind of a conscious, God-conscious stream and float down. It takes some effort on our part. There are things that I'm going to want to change. There are things I'm not going to want to change. And those are philosophical questions you can ask someone and talk about forever. But why? Why not? You know, well, all right, I'm in a little bit of pain, but I'm not going to change it. You know.
Right, and some people would say...
Well, I'm going to change right now.
You know, people don't change until they're in enough pain.
Yeah, but I don't want that to be a catalyst for change either.
Right.
That's an easy way out, because I think that if you look at life as majestic, that's a catalyst for change too.
Mm-hmm.
Pain.
It would be, but so that, in you know, that's like looking at change as wanting to live in grace rather than in agony. So,
sure. So we're all going to have agony. It's going to come whether we like it or not.
So this is a change, though, for you from when you first started the process. You weren't changing out of grace. You were changing because your ass was on fire.
That's right.
So this is something that has become different for you. Is this? You think this is common for people who have gotten sober and grown? That they've learned to change out of grace?
That's a real tough question for me to answer.
Yeah. Yeah, because I don't want to speak for other people.
That's right. But my perception of it?
Yeah.
I'd like to hear more of it.
Yeah. 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 Changing out of a desire.
You know what? If I got to keep changing it because of pain over and over, year after year after year, and day after day after month, I'm doing something fucking wrong. Something ain't going right if it's the pain that keeps me.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So it ain't working.
Yeah.
Does this make sense?
Yeah,
you got a lot of problems because of the pain.
Or I think, you know, there's a continuum. I think, like you said, there's times when you're, you know, there's rough water and there's bumps in the road, and then there's also times, and I think it's all of it.
That becomes a collaboration.
Yeah, yeah, all of the above.
Yeah.
So do you think a couple of final questions, and then you know we'll put a wrap on it for tonight. But do you think that it's necessary to understand change, to change?
not necessary, but it sure makes it a little sweeter.
Yeah, because I could see, you know, trying to understand it and then get caught in trying to understand and miss what the less tangible things that happen, the grace, the, you know, what happened to you in that moment of clarity.
I think at that point it's more important to cinch up your belt and go for the ride for a while.
Hmm. Yeah.
With some good people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who and similarly have some intrinsic nature.
Yeah, yeah.
Similar to yours.
Yeah, yeah. And did you find those people when you were in the midst of...
I got lucky, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got lucky. I didn't have to look too far.
Yeah. And, well, lucky or...
divine intervention.
Divine intervention, whichever. Whichever. I mean,
yeah,
I don't know.
I don't know.
If people want to go with luck, I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Because the outcome is the same.
Yeah, I mean... There's a phrase you're going to, well, did you really go, or did you just get lucky? Well, you know what? I put some effort into it too.
Yeah, yeah. You had to do certain things. You had to follow. You had to be willing to follow direction and all that sort of stuff.
Sure.
But yeah, so I don't know about the difference between luck and grace. I'm not qualified to answer that.
Yeah, cross that line philosophical.
So a question that I ask just about everybody on the show at the end of the show is, what would you tell or what would you say to a person, a new person, a person who was where you were at the beginning, you know, the ass on fire guy, you know, walking in the door. What would you tell him, about change, about what he can expect? What would you tell him?
About change?
Yeah, about survival, what would you tell them? What kind of advice would you give that new guy walking in the door?
Get as open as you can, open-minded as you can, trust.
Hmm.
You're going to take some hits, stay vulnerable, because you know what? You have to be as sensitive as you possibly can. Because God's touch is extremely subtle.
Hmm. So you have to be sensitive enough to recognize the touch?
Subtle touch.
Hmm.
To feel it. It's so subtle. It isn't a burning bush.
Hmm.
However, that subtlety is so powerful it can feel like a burning bush.
Right. But you have
heavy impact.
You have to be in the position to experience it.
Absolutely. Trust.
And I suppose that's where, you know, in a way, that's where drunks and addicts are in an interesting kind of backwards way. They've been reduced to that vulnerable state.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where grace can occur.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We've been so desensitized for so many years.
Yeah.
Any touch has a heavy impact on us.
Yeah. Yeah.
But God's touch is so subtle.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta be so sensitive to feel it.
And you know, the drunks and druggies have basically had their skin removed.
Oh man. Absolutely. They've spent their time in hell.
Yeah, spent their time in hell. Got it burned off. So thanks. Thanks for the information. Thanks for the input. Thanks for the conversation. It was a good one. I enjoyed it. I hope everybody else. I hope you're the listening audience. I hope you guys did too. And so thank you for coming, John.
Appreciate thank you, Rick.
And I'm glad you're getting a new coat.
I'm gonna always wear one. I'm not gonna change that.
No,
that's not gonna happen.
Well, if you have a lot, then you can change the name. It's two coats, kind of.
Yeah,
that wouldn't be. It just wouldn't be right.
Mm-hmm.
So thanks to our listeners and our studio audience for making this a successful little underground support source for the recovering community. We'll email out our reminders for next week's show, usually at the end of the week. And if you want to be on our email mailing list to get a reminder for the show, you can go to our website, which is
recoveryinternetradio.com.
We need a little, yeah, we need a little jingle there. So remember to check our website and check our archive shows if you'd like. Sign up for the email list, and also that we want to hear from you so we know where you are, because we're an internet radio show, not a regular radio show, so we don't know where you're listening from. You might be from Turkey. So as always, live today, love yourself and your neighbor, and together we'll trudge the happy road to destiny. We hope you've enjoyed the show, and we'll see you at 8 p.m. next Sunday night. Thank you.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.